Good morning and welcome to How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment from yesterday, what have you wanted to commit to and continually find yourself unable to commit to? Record and listen.
All right.
Here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
This is Michael in California.
Hey, Michael.
Hey, Sherry. Hey, Ashwini. So
what are you seeing?
I loved what I was seeing about this. What came to mind immediately was some form of strength training, and in terms of exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been sick recently, as you know, so that interrupted the exercise program. And I've always found it easy to do more cardio kind of exercise,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted to add some strength training. And what I was just seeing is that conditioning doesn't allow me to explore sort of the little steps that are necessary, because I've also had back pain over the years and, you know, re-injured it many, many, many times. But being able to explore the little steps that would be required to get to something that would be helpful for me in the long run.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's so interesting to me because I was just reading an article about that. And I always find it fascinating when sort of things that are a part of practice come into pop culture or modern whatever.
Yes.
And the person writing the article was making exactly, looking at it exactly the way you are. And of course this is our language, not his, but what we're conditioned to is okay, all right, strength training, join the gym, get out there, put that on. Right?
And of course, it doesn't work.
We hurt ourselves. We hate it. It feels awful. And so looking at breaking it down, so kind of what would I like? And his point was it's really important to use all the muscle groups because that's what we need for maximum fitness. And so how can you do three of whatever it is for – say the upper body, three reps of the exercises. It's just like we talk about meditation, right? First you sit for 5 minutes. And then when you sit for 6 minutes, and pretty soon you're sitting for a half hour, no problem. That's really fun. And I'm guessing you're working with the mentor on this?
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Because the mentor is always the best coach.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, and what dropped in as you were talking is do more than the voices say I can and do less than the voices say I should. And it's always there. The middle way is always there.
Yes, and the other thing when you say that, Michael, is taking it out of the conversation. So, you know, you make a little chart for yourself about what it is that you want to do. And today, this week, or this two-week period, you're doing 5 reps. There.
Yes.
Not, oh, this feels great, I want to, or, oh, I hate this. But this is the program, and this is what I'm committing to, and this is what I'm doing. Which makes it, I don't know, for me anyway, it makes it easier. Then all we're up against is the, I don't want to. Factor.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Rather than a conversation about, well, how much should I do and how much time do I have? And it makes it more manageable.
Right, right, right. And as you're talking, it's good to see that this process applies everywhere, not just
everywhere.
Strength training, but everywhere,
everywhere
in my life. So it's great.
Yes. Yes. Whatever we want to start, whatever we want to stop, do it gradually. Do it with conscious. It's like I was talking to people recently at an orientation about sitting. And so you can't move once you start sitting. Well, that, you know, with the idea of the actual. And so, yeah, we don't want you to be in agony, but if you're going to move, it's not the, oh, God, I've got an attitude that ego wants to have. It's, okay, how do we bring conscious awareness to this such that nobody in the hall knows that I've moved? That's
right.
Because the whole point, right, is paying attention, not accomplishing some ego goal.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's very fun. Hey, when you get it all laid out, will you share it with me so that I can get on the program too?
Sure.
All right,
I'll send you a little email. That's good to have homework because, as you know, your ego is slippery.
Yeah, a workout buddy. But I mean, truly, Michael, I had just, you know, I have the weights on the back porch, you know, and I walk by and look at them, and so it would be a big help. I'd appreciate it.
Okay, wonderful. Thanks,
right.
Sherry.
Thanks Michael.
Money.
Uh-huh. Bye bye.
Thanks, Michael. Excuse me. It's so true that. I think it was Alan Watts who said that if you decide to go on a diet, don't tell the devil about it. Only reveal what you want to have in the next meal.
Aha. Uh-huh. Ooh.
That's
clarifying, isn't it?
Yeah, that it's the abstraction that makes it overwhelming, and that's what ego is really good at, which is to make it so big that we just don't have the ability to wrap our heads around it. But if I know what the smallest the smallest gradient that I'm committing to, then it's never overwhelming because it's only what's in the moment, and the moment can support that.
Yeah. And then it really supports us because our whole point is being in the moment, right?
Yes.
That's our whole deal, and that's what the real commitment is. So that's very helpful. Don't tell the devil. I like that.
Yeah. All right. Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Emily from Seattle.
Hello, Emily.
Hi. So this has been really helpful looking at commitments. I see that. That the big ones are the ones that I keep, that are the ones that are really important about practice. And, you know, when I really get determined about something. And there are these smaller kind of self-care ones that I was looking at. And then for this one specifically, the one thing is that I've just always, I feel really controlled by ego over is I want to not drink wine when I go out, and I've been paying attention to it, and I've recorded about it, like, you know, I really don't like it. I don't really like the taste when I'm really, like, there's nothing really I like about it anymore, and the more I'm kind of paying attention and becoming aware.
I'm laughing,
you know,
because
doing
I know exactly what you mean. The habit is there long after any interest in it.
Yeah. I don't even like the effect it has on me. Like, I want to get back to me. I'm faced with it all the time. Like, okay, it looks, you know, I get drawn into it, like, oh, that looks so nice and
so festive and so much fun.
I want to join everybody else. That looks so, you know.
So, Emily, I was looking at this. I was recording about this just a couple of days ago, and the way it occurred to me is that life, and this goes with the gradual thing we're talking about, that life, when we let it, just simply does for us what you're describing. We don't have to give things up and quit things and get into a big ego about it. If we just stay with it and keep paying attention, our interest in it just simply falls away. We just don't want to any longer. And then as you say, we're in a completely different relationship with it, because now you know you don't want to do it. You don't like it. You don't like the way it feels. You don't like anything about it. And yet there is still this habit that's there.
Yeah. Yeah,
which is a wonderful awareness practice.
Uh-huh. So breaking the habit.
Yes. And Emily, would you also email me about this? Because I want to tell you something that I have done that I enjoy, but it's not really for for this conversation. But I'd like to tell you about it.
Okay, sure, I'd love to hear that. Okay.
Yeah. So I think that commitment. One of the things that I'd like to underline about it is that while the voices want us to focus on content, you're still drinking wine when you go out. Therefore, you haven't kept a commitment, but your commitment is to practice, and you have been practicing with it.
Right.
You have brought awareness to it, and that bringing awareness to it is what's brought you to this juncture.
Yeah, that's a good point. My commitment is to practice.
Around that's right.
It.
Yep. And that's what you've been doing, which is, for everybody, is a really important distinction, because ego, those voices are only interested in the content. You're either doing the thing or you're not doing the thing, rather than, no, my commitment is to bringing awareness to every aspect of my life. And this thing is one of those places.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I was doing the two-handed recording over the weekend. What would kind of a two-handed support be for breaking a habit?
I think talking with the person who doesn't want to do it, who gets overridden by the, oh, that looks so good, and oh, everyone else is, and, you know, it's the holiday, whatever it says. Mm-hmm. But to talk to the person who really doesn't want to, I don't like the way it feels. I don't like the way it tastes. I don't enjoy this. I'm being made to do something I don't enjoy. And another subtle distinction here is that the person going, oh, that looks so, is not the one who's drinking the wine. It's the one who says, I don't like the way it tastes. I don't like the way I feel. It's the human being who's having to bear the effects of what ego is saying ego wants. And those are very, very different, right? Ego doesn't feel crummy after drinking wine. Ego's job is to talk the human being into doing it, and then feeling bad, and then being beaten up, if possible, for not keeping a commitment, and all of that.
Yeah.
So talking to the human being who says, no, I don't want to, and then really solidifying that relationship. That's the person, the real person. Okay?
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much.
Perfect time of year to be doing this, right? Holiday season.
Yeah.
Tis the season to eat and drink too much. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Let me
know. Thank you.
Thanks, Emily.
I will.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks, Emily. Sherry, two things were dropping in. When we were putting together the list of the assignments, and we had those three different RL two-handed, the one who keeps the commitment, the one who makes the commitment, and the one who breaks the commitment. Something you said stuck with me, that the person who breaks the commitment is so worth listening to, because they're going to say something that assists us to know what is really what it is that they really want in the want that is not being met, that causes them to break the commitment. It's just an interesting exploration.
Well, it is, and it is awareness practice, isn't it? Because what conditioning wants us to do, what ego wants us to do, is stay on the surface. Just stay in this very superficial conversation about what you should do, what's the right thing to do, what you don't do, how wrong you are for not doing it. That's where egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate wants to keep us. But all of these things are getting us to go deeper, right? So what's really going on there? So with Emily, it's not about drinking the wine or not drinking the wine. It's about somebody doesn't want to and is getting hoodwinked into doing it and then paying a price for it. If we don't stay with this, we never get to see that kind of thing.
That's right. Well, and the point that you were making about the commitment is to practice. I was just looking at habit, and I think there's a blog coming out in the recording and listening blog around developing habits. And the point I was trying to make in the feedback was that a habit, as we've always said, is something that we do unconsciously. What we're doing in practice is not developing a habit. We're developing the doing of something with consciousness.
Yeah.
And so if the commitment is really to bring presence to a behavior, whether that is doing the behavior or not doing the behavior, that's what we're cultivating. It's a very subtle difference.
Yeah, it is. It's almost like the habit is to be aware, or the habit is to be conscious.
Right, yeah. which is that place. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No.
No, I was just going to say that if I am present in the moment that the wine glass is in front of me, there is actually a chance that I can listen to what's arising in that moment, rather than whatever the conditioning is that causes me to go unconscious in that moment and then either have the wine or not have the wine and then get beaten up later. It's that moment of consciousness that we're trying to habituate, not the moment of unconsciousness.
Yeah. We're attempting to learn to look to the present instead of conditioned mind.
Yeah, not to go unconscious.
If there were a habit involved, that's the habit, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. It's so hard to do that because that's where the stupid dust happens, and I have that piece of chocolate, or I wake up after I'm finishing a tub of ice cream because I'm not there in that moment. All right. Here's our next call. Yeah, fun stuff. Training. Mm-hmm. You know, if we could get excited about, in this way I do most deeply vow to train myself, then life's just fun.
Endlessly fascinating.
Endlessly fascinating. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sharon Ashwini. It's Jan in the Bay Area.
Hello.
Hi. Well, this call is really fun. I've just gotten so much out of the conversation so far. I love taking anything like we're doing and just taking it apart. For me, the commitment that conditioning tries to get a hold of to cause suffering is keeping my office area, my room that's my space, in cleaned up and in a certain order and all that kind of thing. But I just can't do that. And trying to cause huge suffering around it.
And how did you do with teenagers? How did you do with kids growing up? Were you able to convince them they should keep their room tidy?
No. Oh, no, no. I never tried to do that.
Never
one, but,
tried.
Oh, gosh.
What's been fascinating about it is seeing looking at it from all different sides, similar to what's already been talked about with other content, but to see that when I come into the room, there's always that reminder from that conditioned thinking to, oh, look at this mess, or look at what you didn't do. And there is consciousness there of, yes, it's not done yet, but I'm doing things that are a higher priority right now that I, you know, that are really important. And I'll get to that eventually. I will. But the other side of it is I also know the one who loves to clean things, to get this area in an order that is so comfortable and so comforting. So to hear that part and know that there's a way to do this, but that a decision is being made in every moment about what's most important. And I guess that's what I've gotten to see most clearly.
Yes, and that you're not being controlled by that phony system that acts like it has an interest in your life.
Yeah.
Because that's,
yeah,
that's it, what it's, right? That's what it's pretending to do. It's pretending to care that your office is kept in a certain way. But it doesn't care.
Yeah.
It just cares that it can say to you when you open the door, God, what a mess. When are you going to?
Yeah. And it's not that bad.
But we'll all be over later to inspect, okay?
But it's just, I don't know, for some reason, it's so, it does have a comical side because I've seen it, I think I've seen it pretty clearly. But the part of it I'm truly appreciating the most right now is I do want to tend to that one that wants that comforting place and to give her time. You know,
it's
what you talked to Michael about. It's a step at a
time.
Okay, so we can't do it all at once. So we're going to put aside this much time or this particular task in that place.
Yes.
And because that takes care of everybody.
That's right. And that's how we tell what's going on, right? Because the person who wants it tidy can understand, and now is not the time because there's chaos happening. There's all this stuff going on, and I know it's going to happen. I know it's going to happen. There's that kind of, and this is slippery, but there's that relationship with all of the different ways of being that we are, right? And what you're describing, so this is sort of off topic, but I was reading something recently who said, the most dangerous thing that's happening in our country right now is that we have nobody at the helm. We have nobody integrating all the pieces, and that which is what a president is supposed to be doing, and there isn't anybody doing that. So all of these different aspects of the government are on their own, and they're on their own without any relationship to the other aspects of the government, which is really scary. I mean, it's like, you know, if you had a company and there was nobody in charge, and then all of the different divisions of the company just start making their own decisions and going off on their own. Right. And that's what it's like for a human being if there's no center. If there's, and you can't really say it this way, but it's like this, if there's nobody at center. And what you're describing is being that conscious, compassionate presence that can help all of the divisions of the human to be integrated into a whole that takes care of the entire being.
Yeah. And something dropped in when you were describing that, and that is, you've referred to this in other things, but there's a feeling that happens. Let's say I enter the office. There's a feeling that comes up when I know that it's time, that it's necessary to, how to say it, to do some straightening, because it's gotten to the point where what conditioning saying is believable, or I don't know how else, I'm not sure the best way to describe that, but there's that feeling that, okay, now's the time. Now's the time.
Ego, whether it's coincidental or whatever, ego is, what ego says resonates. Because in your heart, you know it's time. And that's a really dangerous place, isn't it? Because that's believing that system knows what it's talking about and that it's on
your Sherry, that is so helpful. That is so helpful. Can you say that one more time? there's that.
Go ahead. You try it.
No, just, well, okay. Thank you.
All right.
Let's see. So what I heard.
So you walk in, you, okay. You going to do it?
I'll try. So
all right,
there's that place where you, no, please go ahead. I'm sorry.
All right.
I haven't got it.
You walk into the room, and in your heart, you know it's time to attend. You know it. Things have cleared out. There is actually the space. It's time. This is what's unfolding in life right now. And ego is still going to say the same thing that it always says. If you're not in touch with what's going on with you and responding to that, yeah, it's time, and looking to life for, so this afternoon after the I can come. Okay. If you're not in that place with life unfolding, and that voice comes in and says, God, what a mess. Why do you never? You're going to believe that that voice is the authority in this situation. And
yeah,
that
that's
it's
the crux.
Actually,
yeah.
Yep, and that it's actually concerned and it's paying attention and it knows what's going on, and it just busted you because it caught you doing, not being who you should be. And it's that kind of split second coming together that we want to be present for.
So is that what that pointed to for me is that our actions, Ashwini has said it before, our actions lead to consciousness that are, I forget how she says it, but it sounds like that's what that is.
Yes, and so you are there at center. And because you're there at center, you're watching life unfold. You're listening to the information. You're getting, you know it's time. You know that there's going to be the space. You know there's the willingness. You know everything about it. So when that voice comes in with its negativity, you recognize it for what it is. If you weren't
there,
ego would look to ego. It would be the authority, and you would go on feeling bad and believing that you needed it to watch you and beat you up in order to make you the right person.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, this is so helpful. Thank you so much.
It's a good process map subject, isn't it? Because
for,
it is
for everything.
So subtle. Yeah, it's so subtle. And of course, the benefit for us is we want to be that centered presence that is taking care of the entire human being. Therefore, all of the aspects, the one who wants to be physically fit, the one who wants a clean office, the one who wants to eat healthy, the one who doesn't want to yell at the kids, the one who wants to be, right? All of those ways of being need a coordinator who can say, yes, because life is going to make the time and space for everything that is our life.
Yeah. And we can write the ship, keep writing the ship. Yeah.
Precisely.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was great. Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Jen.
Bye-bye.
No, what I was hearing in that conversation, right, Cherry, is the, excuse me, what conditioning tends to do is to take credit for life.
Yeah.
And if we let it, that's sort of the strengthening of the muscle to turn to conditioning as the authority. So what's really going on is that it's arising that there's time and space to do this particular task, and that's a centered, conscious awareness, an insight place.
Yes.
And if that voice came in and said, you've got to clean the ha-ha, and you end up doing it and unconsciously saying that that's what I paid attention to that resulted in the clean room or in this task, then we misrepresent the authority in our lives, which is conscious awareness.
Yes. So Jan used the riding the ship image.
Yes.
And so if we stay with that, there's going to be a captain. And if we're here, conscious compassionate awareness is going to be the captain or the mentor. Sometimes we'll talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
But if not, then ego's going to captain the ship. And that's what it's trying to do. It's trying to grab that wheel constantly, second by second by second by second. And the only way we can prevent that is to be taking responsibility, be here, which is what we're learning to do in awareness practice.
Because I would project that until we are really paying close attention, more often than not, our experience is that arises, it's time to do it, and then the voice comes in and says, I don't want to. And then
now
we
you
don't.
To, you can do it later. You need to,
later, exactly.
Finish those.
Right.
Finish that laundry or whatever lame thing it comes up with. Yeah.
Yeah. And then when we see past that, if we're present and we move forward to do the task, the only way it can be a victory for ego is if it claims the victory and causes us to believe that it was the source of that.
Yeah.
And that we're
exactly.
not listening to that, what's arising for us. It's so interesting how that evolves.
Mm-hmm. And how subtle it is. That's the
and
other thing we want to underline. This is subtle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Which is what makes it so exciting.
Exactly so. Well, and that brings us to the end of the show, Sherry. So our assignment for today is a little switch in topic.
Mm.
It is. How would you like your life to be? Record and listen.
There's a long recording,
how,
huh?
Or a
how
short
would
recording,
you like, depending on on where you are.
Yes. All right. Well,
all right.
Talk to everybody tomorrow.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.